This was a triumph. I'm making a note here, huge success. It's hard to overstate my satisfaction. Aperture Science. We do what we must because we can. For the good of all of us, except the ones who are dead.
Hello and welcome to the Noisecast, a weekly podcast about technology, random gadget news, or my keyboard being as loud as possible.
Weekly is also in quotation mark.
Well, we record it pretty much weekly. On that topic, we just pushed the most recent two episodes that were really late. Moving
which
on.
Which means this one won't come out until Christmas.
Yeah. So, Merry Christmas. I hope you followed our gadget recommendations that we're sure to do before then. With us tonight, we have Grandpappy Agrippa.
Blah, blah, woof, woof.
Well said, sir. We have Gonzo Rider.
Mm-hmm. This is
going to be fun, I can tell. We have Ben.
Howdy and hello.
And then, of course, me, your host, Kevlar Menace. I'm just going to start slamming my keyboard against the table because that's going to be the most interesting thing on this podcast.
Oh, there's going to be lots of interesting news. We just haven't gotten up to speed yet.
Oh, very well. Okay. Brief site announcements. We are currently running our No Shave November contest. Entries for the pre-pictures have already been accepted. However, if you have a really awesome beard at the end of the month, we'll be glad to post it and make fun of you. However, you probably won't win a prize unless somehow you can prove to me that you grew in the month. So that's not going to happen. Anyway, our first topic tonight. Let's start with Microsoft. For the Windows Phone 7 fanboys out there, all three of us, two of us are on the show. Chevron WP7 Labs is now available. It's basically a legal unlock and homebrew suite. You get the full productivity suite, the dev software from Microsoft. It's $9 to unlock your phone. You can run any app. You can sideload any app you want. But you can write code. You can write your own app. You can put it on. You just can't publish it. That's pretty cool. I think. What do you think, Agrippa? Or anyone else?
Like you ask me, because I'll agree. No, I fully agree. I mean, I think it's cool. Some people are already bitching about the fact that you have to pay for it, which to them defeats the purpose of, you know, jailbreaking. But
You can dev unlock your phone anyway, but this is completely legal and doesn't void your warranty.
Exactly. That's my point exactly. It's like you get all the flash, all the wonders of jailbreaking minus the pitfalls, you know? And
it's only $9.
Exactly. It's only $9. So, you know,
but it's $9.
Well, and the fact that it's supported by the, you know, the company. Microsoft is behind this. This isn't like, obviously, some people charging money for, to let you in on your device, because that'd be fairly illegal. But
yeah, but I mean, if you want this kind of functionality, $9 isn't that much.
It's not. Plus, I mean, they have a whole list of tutorials, and you get the software. You can download the dev tools. And you can just, you know, play with it all you want. It's awesome. Because considering the suite of software that you're getting, it's pretty powerful.
Wait, so is the $9 just so you can develop stuff, or that's also you can install whatever you want?
It's the same thing. The only thing you can't do is publish any of your apps to the marketplace. You need to get a full dev account for that.
Okay, so let's say you develop an app, and then you paid the $9, and Agrippa did not pay the $9. He can't install it.
Yeah, he can, as long as he pulls the XApp, which is the extension of the file. He can, if he goes to, you know, the XDA developers forum, like I did, and I pulled down the screenshot application that the guy posted, said, hey, if you want to take, you know, screenshots of your phone, use this. I, you know, pull it down, just use the deployment tool and install it. All you need to do is get your phone to be registered as a developer, which there are hacks around. You don't have to pay the $9, but it's $9.
Yep, $9.
And it's a good way to get your feet wet if you think you might be interested in making apps.
Well, yeah,
and
I mean,
you don't want to pay $9 fee.
Well, okay, then you can use the emulator without ever putting it on your actual phone.
Yeah.
You don't need to have a device to do it.
But is that $9 at a yearly fee? That's just one time only, you're done?
I'm pretty sure it's yearly.
Okay, that's not too bad. I mean, the same basic thing.
It's a limited dev account, is what it is.
I mean, if you want the full dev, isn't it 100?
Yeah, it's 100 bucks a year. Or if you're a student, then if you're a student and you don't have a Microsoft Dream Spark account, then you're dumb because you're missing out on a whole lot of really good software.
Yeah.
I mean, I got the full, not the full, but an extended version of Visual Studio. And then with the devs suite, you also get the Expression Studio as well, which enabled me to make an RSS app in about 20 minutes, which is ridiculous.
It really seems like Windows is trying, or Microsoft is trying to draw developers to their platform.
Have you never heard the Ballmer speech?
Developers.
Yeah, exactly. That's,
they love developers, man.
But, well, yeah. I mean, that's the thing they really need, though, because iOS and Android have such a lead in the market that if they can draw the developers in, or like people that just kind of want to try it out, then it's only going to help their platform.
Was it the last big phone dev conference they had? They announced that Fruit Ninja made more money on Windows Phone 7 than it did, or the developers made more money releasing on Windows Phone 7 than they did on iOS or Android.
Interesting. Why is that? Is that because Microsoft takes less of a cut, or
probably? I mean, Microsoft's big enough where they don't need to make a ton of money from that. So it's, you know, well, I don't know how much they take. I have a dev account, but I haven't actually looked.
I mean, I'm not sure what it is, but I'm sure they make more because they don't. If they're trying to be more dev friendly, then they're going to take a smaller cut, and it's not going to affect them that much.
No, they want the phone to get out there. They want, you know,
because they have other products that generate more revenue.
Yeah, it ties in with Xbox. It ties in with Bing. You know, everything. They Bing Maps are already used on Facebook. So, and they're just trying to get themselves out there. And being a mobile device is a good way to do it.
Well, that's cool. I'm not a Windows phone user, but I wish the platform the best of luck because more innovation in the mobile space is better for all of us.
Well, just hold that thought for a second until you hear this next topic. Microsoft is loosening their hardware requirements for Windows Phone 7. Basically, you no longer are required to put any camera at all on your Windows Phone 7 device.
I mean, I always thought the hardware requirements were really good. Like,
that was part of it. But that's so you didn't get all the, you know, like the lower end Android devices, exactly, but you weren't stuck with just one yearly update like Apple.
So I was looking over the list of some of the things that are optional now, and some of them I can see, like a gyroscope, a compass, whatever, a front facing camera, I guess. But a primary camera? Fucking, like, I think I bought a grapefruit the other day that had a camera in it.
I kind of feel like we have to be a little fair about this. If you look at this, it's not that we're taking the idea that they're loosening their hardware requirements, and we're treating it as though they are eliminating their hardware requirements, which is essentially what Android does, and that's not the case at all.
Okay,
if you look at the requirements that are still in place, it's still coherent. You know, it's like the core things are still coherent. What Microsoft is trying to do is say, look, we can attack every single market that Android is in, but do it the way Apple would. You know, with a coherent vision and a coherent. So it's like, I don't feel, I know where your concern is, Kevlar, where, you know, you think it's going to happen something similar to Android where you have these random shit phones coming out of nowhere or these random shit phones that no one's going to want to buy. But you're completely forgetting that the greater market is outside of the market that requires or wants a front-facing camera and all this other stuff in there. There's this huge untapped market. And imagine right now Nokia is making a massive, massive push into China, you know, which is, I mean, just the largest cell phone company, the largest network in the world is in China just because there's so many damn people there. And they're making this massive push, but the majority of phones that the Chinese population wants to buy are not these super high-end phones. You know, they're not, you know, many of them aren't actually able. And imagine getting at least the very minimum, the very basic Windows Phone ecosystem into those people's hands. I mean, isn't that what Tango is about? Where they're going to kind of downshift a little bit and get it to where slightly, you know, those slightly less than smartphone devices, you know, can be on the Windows Phone 7 market. And, you know, essentially, you know, they're attacking from the top and the bottom. I'm not, this news, I was in, when I first saw it, my knee-jerk reaction was that of a concern. But the more I think about it, I'm just like, no, this makes sense. As long as it's still coherent, it makes sense.
Okay, my biggest issue is, you remember Windows Mobile? Yes. And how it was pretty, you could, anyone could throw it on anything and sell it. And if, I don't know if you touched the Windows Mobile device at the end of their life, but it was horrible.
There were a ton of terrible.
There were a few decent ones. The Samsung Blackjack line was all right. But, I mean, most phone manufacturers would just buy, you know, hey, we have this handset that we can put it on. Let's do it.
Again, you're missing that basic difference. With Windows Mobile, it's similar to what Android is saying. Look, it's a device. It's a mobile device. Put whatever the fuck you want on it. You know, but this isn't still like, I mean, look, they still have hardware requirements. They still have a basic minimum you need. I mean, if you look at it, it's still the same restrictive requirements, just a little bit lower. And we already knew they were going to downshift Tango to make it go on slightly lower specs. But it's still a strict set of requirements out there. You know, why, I mean, the majority, I mean, there are still more phones sold without cameras than there are with. And eventually, it's not like they're ignoring this higher end. It's not like they're saying, hey, HTC, Samsung, whatever, we want you to flood the U.S. market with phones that don't have this shit. Because in this market, they know good and goddamn well it's not going to sell here. But you're not going to go sell a $600 phone in China.
You know, you're not going to sell any American-branded phone in China.
It's going to be, unless it's Apple, it's going to be, you know, it's going to have to, you're going to have to, you know, downshift things but keep it coherent. Windows Mobile was not coherent at all. In the beginning, it was. There was this basic, and it wasn't even a requirement from Microsoft, just kind of an understanding, this is what you need. But eventually, you just have companies just saying, well, here's a phone, I think it's a smartphone, let's just throw Windows Mobile on it. And it got ridiculous. But well, here, Microsoft still will not license Windows Phone 7 to you unless you meet specific requirements, even if those requirements have been downshifted.
Yeah, but the OS is still considered a smartphone OS, so you're still going to get charged your smartphone data fee. I mean,
you're thinking from the standpoint of the U.S. market.
Yeah, I am, because that's where I live.
Yeah, and that doesn't make sense. This decision here clearly isn't made for the U.S. or for Europe, for that matter. I mean, it's so obvious. We just heard they're making this massive push into Africa and the Middle East and into, you know, Southeast Asia and all these other, like, traditionally underserved markets. And these requirements, these, you know, super phones haven't caught on yet. Many of those places don't even have the networks to handle it. You know, and so it's to me, we knew this was coming. That's what I'm saying. And this was something I said a while ago when we knew Tango was coming and we knew they had this plan to kind of, you know, attack these underserved markets. And I said, how? You know, these markets, smartphones aren't selling there because smartphones are too expensive. How do they intend to do it unless they intend to downshift what they're doing? And this is exactly what they're doing. Except rather than making that Windows Mobile mistake of just saying blah, whatever. You know, they're actually being... Like I said, I still see... You're looking at it from the standpoint of the current hardware requirements downshift to another. And I'm looking at it as strict hardware requirements. It's just they're lower than what you've been used to, but it's still strict hardware requirements.
Yeah, and
I'm not worried yet.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. And I'm starting to realize that they're probably never going to sell a smartphone without a, you know, camera. The only... that may also be a ploy to get the government to switch, because the government buys BlackBerries without cameras for obvious reasons. So that, I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but
that's actually a good point I hadn't considered. If they make a Windows phone that comes without a camera, then that makes it an option for, you know, people in sensitive positions, then they can actually use that phone.
Yeah, I used to work in, you know, I'd pass out phones to officers and whatnot. You get a lot of people who want to, you know, they complain their BlackBerry doesn't have a camera, but then you realize that these people carry that BlackBerry pretty much everywhere, and you're not allowed to have a camera, technically not allowed to have any, you know, digital device, but... Not having a camera, it's just a stupid requirement that's there, so they might as well take advantage of it.
But yeah, I think you're right. I'm pretty sure, like, no smartphone in the U.S. is going to be released without a regular camera. That's just, you know, something they've taken out, like Agrippa said, for developing markets or whatever.
Yeah.
Chris, yeah, it's kind of the trainer wheels.
So it's kind of a new point, I guess.
Okay, so I guess we're done with the group's high horse on that one. Just kidding, don't hurt me. Speaking, let's go on. Stick with mobile for a second. Motorola, there's been a, you know, I don't know if you've noticed, but they like their phones to come with laptop dock things. There's an Engadget article here about it. I'll post in a minute. It seems to me that they're trying, without really saying they're trying, to kind of change the way you accept your laptop to work. It's almost like a netbook, but with your phone. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I wasn't paying attention.
Awesome, Ray. Awesome. I don't know how sold I am on that concept about how your phone is basically just the brains and the laptop is just the extra accessory, a bigger screen and the keyboard. It's a cool concept, but honestly, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. I think I kind of like the way it works now. Like, I like having my laptop. I like having my phone. I like to have them connect, but I like having them separate.
Yeah, I now that I've caught up, I agree with that. I mean, it looks cool and fancy and high tech, but I just don't know how practical it'll be. Because if I'm going to sit down and do, like, with an actual keyboard and a trackpad or a mouse or something, I'm going to want more power than what my phone can give me. But maybe that's just me.
Well, as someone who lived with a netbook for, you know, 9 months and, you know, 6 months of that being college, it's not horrible. It just depends on how the OS works. I mean, the biggest thing is it's got to handle multiple tabs. You know, like more than 10. And then maybe a flash thing within that.
But, yeah, see, that's my problem. I had a netbook for like 3 months, and I couldn't do it.
See, the ironic thing, I think, is that it seems like that would work well if you're the kind of person that could get away with doing all of their computing on a netbook or even just a tablet. Basically, like, you don't do a lot. You just kind of surf the web, check your email, stuff like that, then it would probably work pretty well for you. But at the same time, if you're that kind of person, you're not going to be having this phone and that, you know, laptop dog.
Well, that's not entirely true. I mean, you get people who get upsold on things all the time. That's what the salesmen are there for. That's, you know, it's what salesmen do. They upsell you crap. So, I mean, but then again, if you tell grandma that, hey, you take this phone and, you know, I'll put a skin on it for you that you can do whatever you want with it, and then it'll plug in, and this will be your computer. So you can use the computer and the phone, whatever. And
she's going to lose her mind.
Yeah, I don't mind. Well, grandmother, I could never, like, teach her how to do that. Like, my grandmother has a netbook, and she has not a smartphone, she has a cell phone, but just imagine trying to train her how, okay, now you just plug this into the bag. My grandma can hardly turn on our HD TV, let alone figure out this mechanism.
Yeah, mine thought turning off the monitor turned off the computer, so it's going to be, it would be a stretch.
Well, then this would, I mean, they could market this to that if they really wanted to, but they don't want to be caught, you know, selling their high-end devices to grandmas and grandpas.
I see it as a high-end device, but I don't see the functionality of it. Is it so hard to just sit and read your phone?
Oh, I absolutely hate it. I refuse to read anything longer than a paragraph on my phone. Like, if I get an email that's longer, you know, like one of Agrippa's epic, I want to tell you my life story emails that he loves sending, then I won't read it on my phone. I'll wait till I'm near so I can pull my computer out at school or whatever, because I cannot stand staring at my phone to read for that long. Now, I can play games all day on it, but...
Oh, what's the fucking difference?
You know, I'm actually...
The font size?
I like to read long things.
Blow it up, old man.
If I blow it up, then I have to swipe back and forth and back and forth and back.
Ooh, my fingers are getting hurt. Ooh.
It's stupid.
Yeah, you're stupid.
Okay, you use a BlackBerry. Shut the hell up.
Game, set, match.
I seed.
OC and I were having this discussion about, you know, tablets being more efficient, tablets and phones being more efficient than laptops and, you know, PCs, just based on the whole, you know, phones, laptops, phones and tablets can do everything a PC wants to do, but... But with less energy and whatnot, and we kind of got into this whole thing where, again, trying to shift this behavior, Motorola trying to shift this behavior, it maybe makes a little more sense now that we have more effective cloud computing, can outsource the majority of the actual hard work. But at the moment, I'm kind of with Gonzo. It's like, what... Why? You know, like, it seems so... At the end of the day, the conclusion, you know, I came up to, I don't know if OCE agreed with me, was that at the end of the day, a PC is a hell of a lot more efficient. And I know this is kind of slightly off kilter to the core topic, but, you know, the PC was more efficient because...
Wait,
you know,
you're going on a tangent? I have to stop you. We're not allowed to do tangents.
When we talk about, you know, the amount of energy expenditure, you know, like actually outsourcing things to some server farm somewhere to do all this other work, all this processing over there versus a device I have that, you know, fits in my bag that, you know, I carry around with me that can do it all right here in front of me, you know.
You're talking about a prostitute or a computer?
I'm talking about both. I mean, at the end of the
Very
day,
well.
You know, whether it's in front of you or, I mean, let's talk about, you know, a prostitute, which is better? You know, some video chatting with some stripper somewhere or actually having someone on your lap?
Better or safer?
Look.
Valid point.
One issue at a time.
I'm a little lost in the analogy. Something about...
Yeah. All right.
I think he just wanted to talk about prostitutes.
Yeah.
We can do that if you want.
Okay, so the general consensus is the world is not ready for this sort of thing yet.
Well, no. Here's a feeling I have that's also kind of related, but I don't know if any of you guys share it or I'm just crazy, but I almost feel like my laptop, which is the only computer I own right now, when I have it out and about versus when I'm using it at home on my desk, I think of them as two different machines. Like, when I'm just using it out somewhere else, like when I don't have a mouse or an active internet connection, it's like, oh, this is just something, whatever. It's not until I get home and I have my mouse and I have, you know, my iPhone dock and blah, 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 that I'm, oh, now I can do real work because I have a mouse or something. I don't know. Maybe I'm just...
Yeah, I think you're crazy. Probably a little dumb.
The only thing that would make this thing worth any kind of while is if this keyboard, monitor, mouse thing, dock, laptop dock, whatever the fuck you want to call it, had some fucking ports on it or something.
Well, okay, what if it had that and it had like a small SSD drive, you know, like 60 gigs of flash memory, and it had another processor just for graphics or something like that?
Why not get a fucking laptop? Computer.
Why do you need to plug your phone into it at that point?
Well, I'm saying to boost it. I'm sure they could figure some sort of link out where it'd actually be worthwhile to do that.
No, but I mean, look, the accessory, or peripheral, whatever it is, it's expensive enough as it is. What the fuck is
are you
noise?
Okay, are you chopping onions, Agrippa?
I think someone's podcasting from Benihana.
Oh, jeez. Okay. But, you know, it's already an expensive peripheral as it is, and all you're basically getting is a blown-up version of your phone.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. If you,
it's fucking
if
dumb.
If you add other things to it, and I don't think it should be as expensive as it is, honestly. I mean, that's
if
there's
add
no
shit
excuse.
To it, just get a fucking laptop.
That's what I'm saying. It's if they drop the price on what's currently out there to like $200 as opposed to was it $500, then I could see it being a little more, you know, realistic. If you toss in another, you know, couple processors, one for whatever, you know, and extra hard drive and all that stuff, it might be worth it at the current price. But it's
then
not.
It's a fucking laptop that you have no need to dock your phone on.
Except for, yeah, well, whatever the hell.
Because you're using your phone, you got your computer, what do you use your phone and your computer for? Oh, surfing the web, checking my tweets, checking my Facebook.
Porno.
Porno. Look, you can do both of those things on each device. There's no point. I'm right, you're wrong.
Oh. I'm glad you actually let me know.
I'm good. Good. I don't know how to react to that.
Anyway, this new fancy Republic Wireless, it's, speaking of not needing all the fancy cell phone crap, Republic Wireless has, you know, been announced. It's basically going to rely mainly on Wi-Fi calling. So I'm assuming they're going to use Android devices, but, and then when you're away from Wi-Fi, it's going to use a traditional, wireless carrier. What do y'all think of this? I know Agrippa's got a little happy pants for it, but I don't see it working for people who spend a lot of time away from home or work, because it's probably going to be really expensive to go over your allotted minutes.
I think it's a great step in the right direction. I don't know how well it's going to work right now, but I really want the mobile phone industry to step away from the whole, you know, voice minutes and data separate. Just everything run on data. Everything can be VoIP, basically. And fucking just charge us for data at a reasonable rates and, you know, fuck all this other shit. Stop raping us with your stupid pricing tiers. And so let us have data. But that's never going to happen.
As Chancellor notes, it's actually unlimited minutes, though.
Is that unlimited on the VoIP, or is that unlimited altogether? Because I can't imagine they're going to give you unlimited everything.
Well, yeah, that's the point, isn't it? It's not a real phone thing. It's just all VoIP over 3G. If my understanding of it is
true. No, well, okay, I thought they're advertising mainly Wi-Fi calling. That was their strength. I'm going to wait until I see a contract that I can read through, honestly. But I doubt that they'll be able to pull true unlimited for everyone for $20 a month. And especially if the traditional carriers are the ones who are going to be supporting the backhaul on this, it's going to piss them off, and they're probably going to raise what they charge Republic Wireless.
I figure it may be pie in the sky. They may have turn out to have some really clever way to actually make this happen. I'm thinking in terms of what's that other company called? Is it Bitkasa? The guys who are offering, you know, like unlimited, like infinite storage. Like, I mean, how is that even physically possible? But they kind of have a clever scheme for how to actually implement infinite storage for everyone. Considering, you know, not everyone's ever actually going to use it all. So it may be one of those where, like, someone's just kind of found, like, a clever little loophole. A clever little way to make it happen that's good enough.
Isn't that the same premise that banks work on, though? Like, yeah, we have money, but not enough money if everyone took all their money out at the same time. So don't everyone use it.
It's worked for a while. I mean, recent few dozen recessions aside. But it has worked. It's been consistent and stable.
Yeah, well, but what I'm saying, I agree with you. I think it's great, and I hope it goes somewhere, and I hope it takes off, and I hope this is where the industry moves towards. I don't know if it actually will, but I love it. I like the idea.
Well, again, you're going to run into the issue that most of the people who use cell phones aren't actually in cities where Wi-Fi is readily available, or areas even. So they're going to have to, I mean, I don't know exactly, I haven't gone over the full specs for 3G with my radio nerd in, but that sort of thing, I think it's going to end up breaking down differently for, you know, urban and then suburban and then rural areas, because there's going to be a density issue where they can put a few towers in a few city blocks and cover, you know, thousands of people, and then you're going to have to set up, you know, 10 towers to cover that same number of people if you go 30 miles west.
Yeah, I mean, but is that... I'm not so sure about that, only because of the intense concentration of people in urban areas. I mean, you cover a few, essentially just a few metropolitan areas, and you've covered the majority of the population in the U.S.
But the problem is that the U.S. government wants people to, or wants, you know, companies to get broadband, you know, the whole national broadband bit, which is good. I'm not against it. I think that, you know, rednecks need their internet. I mean, hell, what would I be without it? But it's...
We would have Ray, that's for sure.
Yeah.
That'd be a loss.
I don't know. I guess it's a let's wait and see, you know, what the details exactly are. But yeah. I'm sure there are clever ways. I mean, because even off the top of my head, you know, I can think up a sort of, you know, intelligent networking situation that kind of, you know, opens up bandwidth based on time. Kind of the same way a lot of intelligent systems are now being used to control traffic lights, whereas they used to function on just a straight pattern, but now you're starting to get AI actually, you know, routing traffic patterns in some major city.
Well,
there
is somewhat, you know, intelligent data routing things going on anyway.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
But I don't think that's the problem. I think I really just want to see what one of their contracts looks like.
Yeah.
Tell you the truth, that's my final bit on that. I think, because until I actually see what it says in the contract, what you would sign. Then,
and this is what November.
November 8th. Same thing. It comes tomorrow, right?
Yeah. Day after tomorrow.
Day after tomorrow.
Oh, today's.
All right. A Tuesday. Who the hell releases stuff on? Why is everything on a Tuesday?
Well, that's when DVDs all come out. Which is something I've always wanted to know why. Why did DVDs come out on Tuesday? If anyone can answer me this question, please email me. Ben. I want to know why DVDs come out on Tuesday.
I want to know why Ben won't step up to the microphone when he talks.
Because I want you to listen close and pay attention.
Very good. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's a little bit of interesting news. Apple is obviously not a huge fan of Google in the mobile market, but they bought up another mapping company, and it's possible they are going to be doing away with Google Maps on Apple devices altogether. If they do that, why the hell would they just do it for the iPhone? It doesn't seem like a very smart move, unless they just want to do it to spite Google. Because I can't imagine most Mac users using Mapple just because it has, an Apple icon in it.
Do you know Apple users?
Yeah, you're one of them, and you're not that stupid.
Ron is.
This is true.
Wait, are you saying... Wait, I'm sorry. I misunderstood. Are you saying they're doing it just for the iPhone, or why wouldn't they do it just for the iPhone?
No, okay. What else would they be doing it for?
I was just asking you to clarify your sentence.
I was just asking you what else they would do it for if it wasn't their mobile devices.
Well, of course it's for their mobile devices. That's
okay, yeah, but would you spend that much money just to have a map application when you already have someone else's map application that works fine?
Well, first of all, they're relying heavily on Google. That's never a good idea, putting all your eggs in one basket. And two, how expensive is this? This is a pittance for them, and there's so much more that can be done with the, you know, with the map app. You're thinking of it from just the standpoint of, you know, an app, so that iPhone users can find direction somewhere. But there's so much more that can be done. Everything from, you know, securing their phones, the GPS uses, the whatever. I mean, just look at what the Google Maps API is used for. The numerous things it's in that aren't even directly related to Google Maps. It's a powerful system. I mean, I don't know why it took them this long. You know, why they would put such a huge thing entirely on their arch nemesis.
I get that there, you know, that there are certain things other than straight mapping that you're going to use it for, but I don't see how those are going to make them money, because most people are probably going to want the Google Map.
You know,
and they're not going to be able to make it look like Google Maps, because Google's obviously not going to stand for that. They're going to be like, no, screw you, buddy.
So what? I mean, has it occurred to you that maybe the cost of getting their own mapping software is kind of the same as Microsoft and Bing, where they don't really intend to become profitable? I mean, it would be great if they're profitable in search, but that's not that important. It's more the integration, the piece of the entire puzzle. You know, when you're sitting on 70-something billion dollars that's just burning a hole in your pocket and you refuse to pay dividends, pay back your investors, you know, shit, you might as well, you know, build your own fortress. And right now, Apple is unassailable. It doesn't need anyone for anything except a few things, like, for example, search. You know, and as we learned from their failed attempt at something social, they also need something social. And, you know, and Maps is just one really big thing. This is a whole – and if you look at the list of companies they're taking over, some of the things they do, directions. You know, it's they're not just that simple. I mean, I can see everything from integration with their advertising systems to AR to, I mean, it's just they're trying to get control of all the pieces. Apple is becoming its own ecosystem, and that's for Apple, that's a good direction.
Well,
I agree and disagree. Watch
the video of the, like, of the company they acquired or whatever, the 3D mapping.
Which one?
Who has time to watch videos these days?
It's like a minute long, dude. It's actually really cool.
That's fucking 10 years in internet time.
Yeah, I guess. But it's a cool video and it's a cool technology and it looks really nice. I don't know exactly what I would use it for, but it seemed really cool. It's basically this like kind of flyover of a virtual New York City. And you're seeing like people's Facebook, and I think I saw Twitter updates.
So like an augmented Google AR.
For some reason, a 8-bit Donkey Kong, King Kong, on top of the Empire State Building. Not sure what the point of that was.
I mean, it's pretty similar to the thing Nokia was working on, the 3D Nokia maps that are going to be coming to Windows Phone 7, or to wherever Nokia feels like putting it. It's the same thing, like pretty much exactly what Ben just described. And, I mean, yeah, that's cool, but it's remember, Apple is all about the it's all about the effect. It's all about the environment, the exposure, the feeling you get. It's not just a piece of the puzzle.
So they're going to make a map not look like a map anymore, and you're not going to be able to fucking read it, so you're going to install the Google Map app and then use that instead?
Yep.
When did you become 80 years old? We don't know what they're going to do with it. They're buying pieces. They're buying pieces of technology.
No, I understand that, but I also know that they're so full of themselves that I have a feeling something's not going to go right, and they're going to make it – either they're going to make it look really boring, or they're going to make it look super futuristic – where you can't really understand it. I don't know how they're going to pull that one.
And then people are going to buy the hell out of it, and then, you know, everyone else is going to do it, and they're going to change the future again. I mean, come on, let's not play this stupid game that we've been playing for the past decade.
You like, change the future of a map? Maps have been the same since forever.
And, you know, books were the same for thousands of years, too. And they still are the same.
Exactly. They haven't changed the way I read, which is right or left to right down the page.
Look, all I'm saying.
Hey, this is the new Apple Maps. South is up.
Dude, wait and see. You're saying, I mean, to me, look, whatever you think they do, none of us knows. I mean, no one ever knows what Apple fully intends to do. I say they're trying to build an ecosystem, whatever, but let's ignore what they're going to do with these map companies, and let's just focus on the fact that it is painfully, incredibly, remarkably fucking stupid that they would rely on something so major on Google, their arch nemesis. Like, just the fact that they're beholden to Google is a dumb shit move for them to make. No matter what they do with their own map software, no matter what they change, whatever, the fact that they have to rely entirely on the Google API, entirely on their, you know, GPS, entirely on all that, that's just stupid.
Well, of course it is. But the fact that it takes a whole lot of money to get all the stuff that... Yeah. And yes, they have the money. I understand that. I know they want to secure, you know, everything for themselves. That way they can move forward without relying on anyone else. I get that. But I still don't understand why, other than that, other than pure ego, why they want to do that. Because they have the money to pay Google for licensing rights. Who cares?
Yes, they do. But they're also at war with Google. And look, you're right. But my point is just, hey, let's just wait and see.
My point is, hey, let's just troll now.
Look, let me tell you what's going to happen. In, what, a year or so, they're going to come out with something that, you know...
Revolutionary.
And magical. And we're going to think it's stupid. And, you know, all the fanboys out there are going to be like, oh my god, shit-tastic, you know. And they're just going to be all crazy and selling their souls and shit. And we're going to be laughing at it and making fun of it and talking about how stupid it is. And then a week later, on the next podcast, we're going to be talking about how many oodles and oodles of unspeakable amounts of money that Apple just made on it. And then about two or three podcast episodes from that, we're going to be like, you know what, this turned out pretty okay, whatever, except in the case of Siri, which is still stupid. But, you know...
So we're going to use the past as view, you know, we're going to rely on the past to view the future, whereas we still refer to Apple products as stupid, but somehow that's going to change in this one?
Are you not listening to me? I just said this.
No, I'm really not. I'm just trying to troll you, dude.
We're always going to be calling Apple stupid, and they're always going to be just making money and laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah, that's fine. It doesn't mean I have to respect them for it.
Oh, no one asked you to. Oh, okay. Sorry. And in answer to Chancellor's question, yes, Apple doesn't pay dividends. Many companies don't. It's not that big of a deal, but it is kind of a hustle that the only way you can profit off your stocks most of the time is to actually just sell it. And that's why it was kind of a big deal when Microsoft started selling their dividends, but it didn't help them. You know, their stock was stagnating. And they thought, well, if we start paying dividends, you know, we've got all this cash. But incidentally, that's the reason probably why, you know, at this point, Apple has so much more money in the bank than, you know, Microsoft does, because they're giving out billions upon billions every quarter back to their investors over time. You know, that goes straight out of retained earnings.
Yeah. Anyway, not that I'm mocking your attempt to educate us. That's actually quite interesting. I just wanted to move on because we're getting stagnant here. It's basically you talking, me trolling you. So let's move on to Amazon. Amazon is now loaning to Amazon Prime members. They're loaning a certain number of books out. You can get one a month, essentially, which is it's enough for your average casual reader. One free book. It's better than none. It does include a lot of the New York Times bestsellers, current and past. But the catch is you have to have Amazon Prime and you have to have a physical Kindle device. So it's obviously a ploy to get people to buy their devices, which, I mean, The cheapest one's $79, which is pretty good. And then you've got the Kindle Fire, which is, it's an e-reader, it's a tablet, it's, you know, we don't have hands-on yet, but I mean, it's $200.
Word.
And reading is good. Reading never hurt anybody.
And, you know, I was one of those, I don't know if you guys remember, I kept every time, you know, like, man, I just want to, I don't want to get a tablet yet, I want to wait and see what Amazon comes out with. God, I'm so excited, they're going to change everything. Then they announced the Kindle Fire, and I was like, what a letdown, you assholes.
I don't think so, not for and the price point.
Yeah, and then that's the thing, and then I switched around, and I was just like, holy crap, what the fuck, this is the greatest thing ever. You know, it's like, this is it. I realize now, like, I look at, you know, what it does, its specs, its price point, the fact that I could actually purchase it without thinking. You know, like, as in it's at a price point. It's close enough to that price point where...
Yeah, it's if know, they'd marked it $195, it'd almost be an impulse buy.
Yeah, true that. And you know the price is just going to come down, especially with them working on the next iteration coming out, you know, probably early 2012.
Yeah, but I bet that next one's going to have a camera.
Everything's going to have a camera.
Well, yeah, it's like that when the iPad 2 came out, no one really wanted an iPad 1 just because it didn't have a camera.
And now you think you're running around taking pictures of their iPads and shit?
I meant the front-facing one. Cool. I don't care if they put one on the back. I mean the front-facing camera.
Yeah.
So they hold it away from them and take pictures?
Then they're double.
Okay, for Skype. It's the whole idea of replacing your laptop. So you go on a business trip, you can see your kid at home on Skype sort of thing.
You know, I'm surprised they haven't started putting rear cameras on laptops now, just to follow them.
No, what they need to do is put one under the trackpad, so there's always a camera pointed at your crotch. That's a shame.
Why do you think that would be a good idea?
Why do you think a rear-facing camera on an iPad would be a good idea? Not you directly. That's a rhetorical, Ray.
Oh. Do you have to use such big words like rhetorical?
Don't answer to that damn question, Ray. Just hush and
just
chew your tobacco.
So good doesn't mean I'm a rhetorical, all right?
Now, to be honest, the thing that appeals to me most about the Kindle Fire, I don't see any desire for. I don't have any desire really for a camera with it. I saw it and I immediately thought ebook with options.
That's true.
It's like, and I was actually thinking about it. The camera on my phone, which, you know, stills kind of suck, but the video, you know, looks really great. And it occurred to me, I barely use the camera on my phone, as is, but, you know, I do use it to, you know, besides the usual thing, whatever, social networking.
Sexy.
Yes, indeed. It's, you know, it's mainly, you know, playing games and whatnot. And I was looking at Kindle Fire and I thought, I can do everything I do with my phone. The only things that I would maybe want a camera for or, you know, some of these other little options, if I, you know, the moment it happened, I would immediately reach for my phone. You know,
yeah. The only thing I'd say the camera would be for is literally for video chat. That's, I mean, and don't even put one on the back because that just makes you look stupid.
Yeah.
And we've all seen pictures of people.
It only encourages these fucking assholes.
Yeah, precisely.
I saw someone walk around SeaWorld taking pictures of a beluga whale holding up a, I think it was like a Galaxy Tab or something. I was like, what the fuck is your problem?
Did you push him in the water?
No, because there was glass in the way.
God damn it.
Yeah, there's like a foot of glass there. I don't think Ben can push him through it. I know what you're talking about, the underwater part.
Yeah.
You just gotta give it enough force.
And drown us all.
Hey, look, I'm not saying the plan is perfect. I'm saying it can be done.
Your Honor, 75 people deserve to die because this asshole is taking pictures with his tablet. Don't you agree?
Well, you know, if you were there, you'd probably be dead too, so you wouldn't have to worry about the defense.
That's true. Good point.
Anyway, speaking of bad defenses and random acts of violence, GTA 5 is released.
The trailer was released.
Yeah.
Well, maybe this podcast will take so long to go live that it will be released.
Yeah, we're trying to stay super current. Okay, I'm trying to be trolled by the live stream chat, but I'm just gonna ban you, dude. Not really. It's Gumper. He's just trying to be an ass. Anyway, it looks shut up, Agrippa. I can hear you mumbling. It looks really good. The graphics seem to be much improved. It also looks a little.
Maybe it's just because I'm so cynical, and nowadays I don't need to be. But I don't get excited about graphics when it comes to just trailers, because that could be all in-game rendered footage, but my mind just tells me to just think it's pre-rendered and to not get that excited. But otherwise,
well,
I'm pretty excited for the game itself. Like, I loved San Andreas, and I loved the what were, like, the cities, like Vinewood and stuff like that. I loved that kind of area as a Californian.
It's set in Los Santos.
Yeah, so...
So you'll have Vinewood and... You'll have the little boroughs within Los Santos, I assume.
Yeah, but I love that game. I love the you know, the West Coast appeal to that game. So
you
I'm
would.
Excited.
Yeah, it looked... I'm not too sure it's going to suck. I mean, seriously, if it comes out... There were sections of the trailer where you could tell it was, you know, clearly a large-scale, you know, large environment video game where they didn't, you know, not everything's rendered to a T. And I think some of the scenes, like the windmills, there's a little too much detail on there for that to be completely believable. But it looked like it's going to be pretty good. I don't think it's going to be quite, you know, what Skyrim's supposed to be. But I think it's going to be fun. The open world... Everything that everyone expects from something like that.
Did you guys? What were you guys' feelings on GTA 4?
I liked it. It was fun.
I had a good time playing it. I played it on a deployment, so I didn't really have a whole lot else to do. But I didn't hate it. Like sometimes I get annoyed with games like that because they're so open. You have like a list of quests, and you're like, it's just too many to even start. Screw it, I quit.
Yeah, I really liked it.
What a loser.
It felt kind of different than GTA 3, Vice City, and San Andreas. Like, they were going towards a little bit more realism.
Yeah.
While it's still, you know, not really realistic. But I enjoyed it. I had fun. So I'm looking forward to GTA 5.
Yeah, Ray, you have to realize that 90% of the people buying this aren't the hardcore gamers. They're just people who just want to, you know, oh, I liked the last one, let me buy this again. I'm just going to play this in my spare time. So they have to make it fun for those people. It can't be, you know, just the hardcore gamers. And that's what's great about open world games like that, is that you can take as much time as you want, or you can go to the end.
But, no, I mean, I'm kind of looking forward to see if they add, like, bring in some of the things that are in San Andreas, like the real estate buying and buying businesses.
I thought that was fun. I mean, and it's like a mini tycoon. It's like a tycoon mini game, rather, within the game.
It makes you sure you always have money. Like, San Andreas was a bit over the top, I think.
A bit.
A bit.
Very over the top.
But, you know, it had some nice things that I hope they bring back since they're going back to a similar location.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and close that one out for now because I want to hit this one up big time. The new congressional bill, the E-Parasite Act.
Good God.
Basically, seems really openly worded.
Yeah.
Like, anyone who does anything wrong can get in trouble for it, sort of thing.
Yeah, they're going to... just take you down. And it's not even the worst part of it isn't even the whole, you know, they can take you down, just pretty much execute you internet-wise. It's the fact that they can do so on flimsy evidence. Just, you know, I think this person is, you know, stealing from me. End of story. And, you know, Joe Schmo, how the hell are you supposed to defend yourself?
It's kind of like...
Here's how you defend yourself. You bend over and spread your cheeks.
I think YouTube has a better anti-piracy... I mean, obviously, that's their business, is internet. But, okay, you're accused of infringing, so you get taken down or you get a notice depending on how severe it is. And then there's some research done. You can appeal. I don't see any of... this just seems like, oh, it's not real life, it's just the internet, even though that this is a legitimate way to make money for tons of people. So if I wanted to, I could go to someone's website and say, oh, this person stole all my pictures, my code, that video, I did all that. They stole it all, and I want that taken down, and their website's down, and they're not making any money.
Dude, it's only a matter of time before it starts spreading to even search engines. I mean, they already started trying to, when they started attacking torrent sites, I mean, they briefly started trying to attack Google and, Yahoo search and all that. And this is just going to get out of hand. And right now, it's such a ridiculous system. And part of the problem is the people out there making these laws kind of came into their own at a time before any of this stuff existed. It's like they're still playing catch up.
Yeah, I think the problem is that they're spending too much time on and money on trying to catch the people than there is actually, you know, recovery of losses. I'd like to see the numbers, you know, how many people they actually get money from and how much money they get versus how many people they pay to chase these other people down and everything like that.
The irony is, take the movie industry, has been complaining over the past few years that this, especially the past like 2010 and 2011 so far, has been the worst year in terms, well, no, not 2011, 2010 was the worst year in terms of piracy they'd ever had. I mean, the numbers were staggering, yet 2010 also turned out to be the best year they had. You know, the industry had, and 2011 is on track to do better. And so it's like there's this disconnect where they're doing better than they ever have before, and yet the complaint, oh, you're eating us out of house and home.
That's sure. Always been the question that I
have. Yeah.
Is, you know, I understand you don't want people taking your shit for free, and that's a respectable, you know, thing, but it's just getting so ridiculous. I'm like, you obviously aren't hurting that bad, but you're wanting to ruin other people's livelihood.
Well, okay, that not even that. You're willing to spend more money chasing these people than you are losing.
Here's the thing, too. A lot of these companies, and I think they have the same kind of problem that the guys in Congress have, as in the guys at the very top are, you know, they were around before the stuff came around. And to them, they think, like, remember when they tried to sue, LimeWire for more money than the entire world's gross domestic product?
Yeah, I don't know who approved that, or what. I'd like to see the list of people that they had to go through to get approved. Because seriously, every one of those people should be living in a box right now.
The reason for that is because to them, they still think of the internet as a zero-sum game. As in, if you don't pay for this, like every one person who's watching this without paying for it is one less person who would have watched it. Completely neglecting the fact, you know, the people, say someone like me who would, buy a Coheed CD, then go to the concert, then download it as a backup. You know, like, this is something, this was before getting software for, you know, ripping your own CDs or was easy. But, I mean, you know, they're completely neglecting this. So to them, they see, oh my God, this was downloaded 5 million times, and that's a $20 DVD. That's 20 times 5 million. That's the way they're thinking about it. It's this stupid math, and the greed takes over.
Yeah. That's, and you got to take into effect, too, make. Like, okay, this was downloaded 5 million times, so that 500 million or whatever missed sales. But what if the people downloading it wouldn't have bought it anyway because they couldn't afford it? That's not a lost sale. That's just more people looking at it.
Well, and there's more people download stuff just to check it out than, you know, I'm sure there aren't, you know, 500 million fans of Coheed and Cambria. So if your CD gets 500 million downloads, it's because it probably hit the top of someone's popular download list or something like that.
Yeah, I know back in the day, might be incriminating myself, but I used to, you know, pirate lots of video games and stuff. But I would download ones that I was never going to buy and pay for. But because I was getting it for free, like, I'll try it out. Let's see what happens. But I would never spend money on a lot of those games.
Yeah.
And you become...
That's the thing. They're not losing a sale at that point. So they can't be claiming this theoretical money that they think that they should be entitled to.
Is this what black people see all the time?
That doesn't actually even fit.
Yeah, like, it really doesn't work.
It really wasn't supposed to. I just kind of wanted to throw that in there to lighten the mood up.
That's version of interrupting cow moo.
Yeah, it's also my version of we're pushing the time limit, so I want to move on. It, obviously, you should contact your senators, congressmen, janitors,
local dick
mayors.
Butts.
Yeah, local dick butts especially. To, you know, seriously, write your congressman, write your senator, let them know that they should do their research at the very least and that you were against this.
And, well, the thing worth mentioning, too, is a lot of people, like a lot of big name, you know, people are against this. So we don't want this to pass. So.
Oh, yeah. Tons of people are against this. I mean, it's not that it's like Agrippa said, the people writing the laws don't understand the medium that they're trying to govern. And with that, we're on the WTF news.
All right. I'm excited. There's some good stuff. And depressing.
Well, first on the good / depressing, this is both in the news and the WTF news section. AOL still has a lot of dial-up subscribers.
Well,
that surprised me, to be honest. Like, not just the fact that they have subscribers, because I think my aunt is still a subscriber, but definitely not dial-up. But who has a dial-up modem anymore?
3.5 million people.
Yeah, and I'm guessing they're mostly rural areas, correct?
I don't think they actually show that, but
yeah, because I mean, it's just the cost of upgrades. There are just some areas that aren't willing, some municipalities that aren't willing to bear part of the cost for the expansion.
And that's why I'm all for the whole, you know, the government's broadband across the U.S. thing. And it's not like everyone tries to compare us to, like, Japan and Europe. You got to realize that we're not as dense as they are. Come on. Seriously. We have a lot of people spread out all over the place. There's no way that we can, you know, just, oh, let's just run a line down the street.
Now, for me, if they have cable coming to their home and use dial-up, then I'm like, okay, now I don't know what's going on.
Well, okay, maybe they just check email. I mean, not... Yeah,
true.
Chancellor in the chat brings up a point. Apparently, some people... it was reported, I guess, that some people think that canceling their dial-up would kill their email account. And that's why they keep it around.
Well, it depends.
How slow are people?
Yeah. I mean, Ron still has an AOL account, for crying out loud. And
well,
yeah, I love
hipster,
giving him...
So he just does it to be ironic.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
Ron has dial-up?
He has an AOL email account.
Oh, okay. I was like, I thought you were trying to imply he has dial-up. I was like, dude's on Fios.
Well,
yeah.
He tells you it's Fios, but it's really dial-up.
Well, he got Fios before the rest of us did, so it's okay to be on Fios. Ron, I wish you were here this week, buddy. I'd be ripping on you to your face. But
where is he anyway?
I think he's in Uzbekistan.
Should probably fire up the GPS locator. That
I
had.
I should friend him on Find Friends on iOS 5. I can tell you exactly where in the world he is.
Do
that's
it.
That's fucking creepy as shit.
Well, dude, it's the exact same thing as Google Attitude, but
yeah, which I haven't signed up for.
Yeah.
Anyway, how about this next one brought to us by our very own Merrimack, the TNA iPhone cases. If you have a forever alone face in the mirror, feel free to pick up a set of boobies or ass cheeks for your iPhone case.
Yeah,
it not only doubles as a fat material, but you can use it as a stand for your phone.
Those are so awesome.
Yeah, they're funny. Like, completely impractical. I don't imagine how you put that in your pocket. Pretty funny.
Is that an iPhone case in your pocket, or are you happy to see me?
Yeah, a little bit of both.
I think that only works with penis.
No, I think...
Well, the ass kind of looks like some nuts, so...
Yeah, I could go with
that. You could stretch it.
you can stretch your nuts.
Yeah.
I'll just let that one simmer for a minute.
Just let it hang there for a while, Ray.
Yeah, hang low. Go under the radar.
I just want to know, when is the Fleshlight iPhone case coming out? Because that's the next
Tuesday, and it's going to have Noisecast branding on it.
Awesome.
Of course it comes out on a Tuesday.
Well, yeah, exactly. And we're going to beat the fruits to it.
All right.
Okay, now for some super WTF news. Apparently this woman in Wellington, I guess it's Palm
Florida.
Beach. Yeah, Florida. There you go, Florida. Was charged on Wednesday for a July incident in which she allegedly asked sheriff's deputies to arrest her mailbox while she was high on Xanax.
Hilarious.
Yeah, it gets kind of depressing. Apparently the woman took too much Xanax and then decided to call the cops because her mailbox was, let's see, what does it say here? She, told the deputy to arrest her mailbox and tried to climb a bush while yelling at someone who was sitting in the bushes spying on her. And that reminds me a lot of an old neighbor I had.
I never heard any Xanax that does that to you.
Well, she told the deputy she had taken Xanax, leaving out the other, you know, cocktail of stuff that probably happened.
Wouldn't Xanax make you go to sleep? It's not a hallucinogen.
It was Xanax and shrooms.
It's an anti-anxiety pill.
I don't know. Anyway, apparently the deputies decided that there was an unsafe place for her children to stay, so they took her 15-year-old and 1-year-old, which is good.
And they found poop on the floor.
Yeah, there's feces, old food, ants, and roaches in the house, and apparently one of the children said, I wonder which one said this, there's a 15-year-old and a 1-year-old. The lady had been calling the child the wrong name for a week. So I don't know if she...
Long-action Xanax.
Yeah, I think this is Xanax and a lot of other stuff.
Yeah, there's some other stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, so if you're high on Xanax and other drugs, don't abuse your kids. And if you do, then call the cops and tell them to arrest your mailbox. That way your kids can be free of that hellhole.
That is some shit.
Yeah.
Let's get some good, funny WTF.
Okay, this is funny. A woman burns down someone's house for defriending her on Facebook.
How is that hilarious? That's just as tragic.
Because friends don't let friends friend crazy? I don't know if that worked.
Don't friend crazy.
Yeah, don't friend crazy. And if you do, delete your account before you unfriend them.
Or anyway. Hide your account.
Yeah.
Put your address on there.
Yeah. Apparently, the two are no longer friends due to a dispute over Facebook. And that Jen is angry with Nikki because she ended their friendship on Facebook.
Now, I've had some people defriend me. It kind of stings. They're like, well, fuck you too, guy. But I
I've defriended someone, and it's caused quite a backlash.
Oh, I recall. Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, it's the internet, folks. It's just not, let me have
not,
my private...
I mean, I know the internet is super serial for everyone, but not that serial.
How old are these people?
Well, old enough to have houses.
The sad thing is, they're probably like in their 40s. Like, they're acting like stupid teenagers, but they're probably grown-ass women.
The sad thing is, you'd be like, what the hell went wrong anywhere else? But in Florida, you're just like, well, shit.
Well, it could have been worse.
You know?
She could have got the wrong house.
Jesus.
Well, but I mean, this is just another story. Like, there was that same thing a few months
here
ago.
Here it is.
About,
she's 30 years old.
Fuck you, Kevlar.
30?
Hey, you know what? If you move closer to the mic, I could hear you talking.
But I don't want
to. Yeah, she's 30.
The mic in your ass.
I found another link.
30 years old. That's a damn shame.
But, like I was trying to say, it's the same thing that, you know, we've heard about a couple times. It was like that one guy who killed his wife because she changed her relationship status on Facebook or whatever. People are just fucking crazy.
Well, yeah.
And Facebook is just helping them be crazy.
I don't know. Being from Houston, crazy existed before Facebook. Agrippa, I don't know if you were around when the lady got run over in the Hilton, or the lady ran over her husband in the Hilton down in Clear Lake.
Oh, no. I don't remember that.
That's the whole reason. There's a private security firm called Blue Moon in Houston, Texas, that didn't have a very big name before this case, and apparently this woman hired a PI, private investigator, to go follow her husband, found out that he was with someone else, and she ran him over in the parking lot of a Hilton in broad daylight. What?
I kind of remember hearing about that.
Yeah, and it's like maybe a mile or two away from my house, my parents' house down there. So, and we always had our banquets and stuff there for school. So from there on, it was the Kilton. Everyone in Clear Lake called it the Kilton.
I'm looking at a picture of the lady who set the place on fire, and you know, I mean, you can't tell crazy just by looking, but
bull crap.
You sure as hell can.
She does look crazy.
Bitch would be crazy.
She really looks like she will fuck you up just because.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Florida. Yeah, that's fun. Chancellor just sent us this one. Or is that the same? Oh, that's the old one. Yeah, he just sent the link in for that.
Yeah,
except I remember in the end it ended up that she ran him over and then she tried to claim that it was an accident, except for the fact that she backed up over him again and did donuts over his body in the parking lot.
It was an accident twice.
Yeah, it was an accident like four times is what it ended up being, I think.
All right, the third time was on purpose, but the second and fourth times were all accidents.
Well, I just wanted to end his misery. I realized I'd already hit him twice, so I just... Anyway, speaking of bad drivers and women... Let's go ahead and tie those two together. A woman was a Lee County, I don't know where this is exactly, Lee County somewhere. Who gives a crap? Apparently she was driving under the influence, just like I am. driving under the influence, and deputies say she crashed into another car in her school's parking lot, where she is a teacher. I assume. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Apparently, teacher gets drunk in school and wrecks the car. My senior and junior year English teacher was hammered, I'd say 100% of the time, and I don't think she ever got in an accident.
I love how, deputies told the lady that she might have been impaired because an eyewitness said she was stumbling and that her speech was thick-tongued. Don't have a speech problem. She's got a fat tongue.
That's like saying you're big-boned.
Well, the deputy decided to start gathering things from her car. He found two beer cans in her lunchbox and some uneaten plums.
That is a lunch of champions right
See,
there.
If she had just eaten the plums, it could have absorbed the alcohol and she would have been fine.
Okay, so if you have two beers and
while you drink, kids.
Okay, I'm curious because bringing two beers to work is fairly alcoholic, you know, that's alcoholic behavior. But if you take two beers and then wreck your car, that means you're a lightweight. So was she trying to be an alcoholic?
Well, what they didn't find is the fifth of vodka in her classroom.
Ah,
now it makes sense.
The plot thickens. Anyway, Bender Unit 9000 just yelled at me and said that that's Lee County, Florida. Like, it matters. We just assumed it was Florida.
Yeah, pretty much.
Everything at WTF News is assumed Florida unless otherwise stated.
Yeah, the F might as well stand for Florida. What the Florida?
All right, well, this one's out of Pittsburgh. A man is accused of stealing a takeout sandwich and using a stolen forklift as his getaway vehicle. Wasn't one of the GTA games you could take a forklift?
Yeah, and they're terrible to drive. So, yeah. They're rear wheel steering.
Yeah. Yeah, fastest way I've ever crashed in a game. I mean,
I think he took the term hold up a little too literally.
Oh, you're going in timeout for bad puns. Anyway, police say the man stole a forklift from the construction site, and apparently he stole it because he was, I guess...
Because he thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
He was tired of lugging around his hair.
He drove the forklift a mile down to this restaurant, ordered a Reuben sandwich, and then ran out with it and got on his forklift, which is probably slower than his running. Yeah.
Well, I mean, think about it this way. If somebody stole a sandwich from me and he started running away, I would chase him. If he hopped into a forklift, I would just stand there like, I don't know what just happened.
No, I would get my phone out and be like, this is what's happening.
I'd walk up next to him and pull him out of the forklift.
Yeah. That's funny. He's facing a felony theft charge for the $45,000 forklift and a misdemeanor theft charge for the $8 sandwich.
That's an expensive fucking sandwich.
What? Did he eat it? I guess he said he was going to go to the corner and eat it. Or he said he was going to go eat it in the corner, but he ended up running out the front door. Why didn't he just eat it and then run? Would that have weighed him down too much?
Well, you know, he was tired of walking, so he stole the forklift because it had keys and it was a good idea. And he's like, I'll just take the sandwich to go. I've got wheels. Zip on out of here.
The fact that you're trying to make this logical worries me, Ray.
Well, there's logic in everything.
I disagree.
You just have to look hard enough.
I disagree.
Well, I disagree with you.
Very well. Is Grip even here anymore?
No, he went to go get a forklift.
And a sandwich.
Well...
A sandwich.
Yeah. He went to go get a sand fork.
A fork witch?
You're so funny.
You're so funny.
Oh, you're so funny? Anyway, that wraps up our topic list for tonight. It's been a fun hour and 20-some-odd minutes. Except for when Agrippa was talking. I don't remember that. Anyway, with us tonight, we had Agrippa, that I just made fun of.
Etc.
That awkward pause was to allow you to come back and say something else. But,
you didn't hear it.
Anyway. Next, we had Gonzo Ryder, or Ray.
Swings and roundabouts.
That'll keep him guessing.
Yep.
And last but not least, we had Savage Boredom, or Penguin, or Ben.
I'm going to go get a sandwich.
Is it going to be a Reuben?
I don't know how to make that, but maybe. Maybe.
Reubens are good. I highly recommend them. And then I guess there's me. I was your host. Kevlar Menace. Chris. The guy. The obnoxious one.
God, I miss Steven and Vito and Ron.
Why? Because they would have picked on me?
I actually miss Ron. That's how bad you were.
I don't really care what you think. Hey, why don't you do it next time?
But you do, though. You do care what I think. That's the funny thing.
You're right. I'm crying. Anyway, you can catch us online at thenoisecast.com, which you probably figured out if you're listening. On Twitter, twitter.com/noisecast. We're on Facebook as well. We're high tech like that. So enjoy yourselves. Have a good week. You'll probably hear this about a week late. Other than that, have a good night. And we're glad to serve you your stupid news of the day. Oh yeah, I was supposed to end with, this is the Noisecast.
I'm not even angry. I'm being so sincere right now. Even though you broke my heart and into a fire. As they burned, it hurt because I was so happy for you. Now these points of data make a beautiful line, and we're out of beta, we're releasing on time. So I'm glad I got burned. Think of all the things we learned for the people who are still alive. Go ahead and leave me. I think I'd prefer to stay inside. Maybe you'll find someone else to help you. Maybe Black Mesa, that was a joke, haha, fat chance. Anyway, this cake is great, it's so delicious and moist. Look at me still talking when there's science to do. When I look out there, it makes me glad I'm not you. I've experiments to run, there is research to be done. All the people who are still alive, and believe me, I am still alive. I'm doing science and I'm still alive. I feel fantastic and I'm still alive. And while you're dying, I'll be still alive. And when you're dead, I will be still alive. Still alive. Still alive.